Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Hello, church, C3SYD. So good to see you, everybody. It is such a great day. We want to say a huge welcome to all our guests, all our locations from Avalon to Silverwater. Everybody, can you put your hands together for all our guests? If you're a guest today, welcome, welcome, welcome. Yeah, come on, keep clapping, keep clapping. We love you, and we just want to say welcome. We're not here to judge your journey, we're here to celebrate your steps. And today's a great day because we are launching a new campaign. And we do this because we are one church across Sydney. So we have five locations across the city. And so we do this together. Today I'm introducing the next 4 weeks. Someone else in your, someone amazing in every location is going to preach today the full message, but I'm just giving us the introduction. So as one church, we're all on the same page on where we're going for the next 4 weeks. So everyone, turn to the person next to you, choose wisely, turn to the person next to you and tell them courageous prayer. This is what we're talking about, courageous prayer. Just say to them, courageous prayer. And we really do believe that we need courage. And so we are going to be talking about courageous prayer. Prayer is so powerful. Prayer is such a key part of our Christian life. And here's the thing. Courageous prayer is really when we're in the context of opposition. I grew up at Northern Beaches Christian School. I went to NBCS. And I remember the first time when I was asked to pray publicly in front of my whole school in an assembly. And I don't know if you've ever been in a moment like that. It's one thing to pray in your room by yourself. It's one thing to pray with a connect group on a Sunday. But I mean, it's a whole nother thing when we are praying in an environment where there's opposition, where there's not necessarily an alignment of faith. And so I found myself having to get up before our school and pray. And that took a lot of courage. I know there are a lot of teenagers today and you've prayed in front of your school. You've prayed in front of your friends in environments like that. And we want to salute you. Well done. But there's something about praying in the context of opposition. And we as a church need to be able to find that prayer voice, even in the face of obstacles, of opposition, of pushback, and we're going to be the kind of church who knows how to pray courageous prayers. And that's why, everybody, we are going to go to the book of Daniel. Everyone say Daniel. That's right, the book of Daniel. We're going to be looking at chapters 1 to 9. So we're going to be looking at Daniel's life, not going to be looking at all the prophecies. We're going to be focused on chapters 1 to 9, and we're going to learn from Daniel the art of courageous prayer. Thing to remember is Daniel is in the context of Babylon. He's in exile. He's been taken by Nebuchadnezzar into Babylon from Jerusalem. We know that he is about 17 or 18 years old. Daniel is a young man. We know that Daniel stays in Babylon for 65 years, over 65 years, and he dies when he is at the age of 85. We know about Daniel's life that he was courageous and he sought God courageously in a context that was not aligned to faith. And here's the reality of our society, everybody. The world we live in, you know, it's probably gone from a theocentric-based society to a post-Christian-based society. And is even moving into probably what would be like an anti-Christian society. And so as the church, we want to be the kind of people who know how to seek God, not just when we feel like it, not when everything's going good, or even when everything's going bad and we're crying out for help. We must understand prayer is critical. Prayer, it is impossible to have a fruitful, kingdom-orientated life without prayer. And so we're going to dive in this month into what does it look like to have this kind of courageous prayer, where we are seeking God, where we are praying in a context where there is sometimes a lot of opposition. Our prayer is like the oxygen to our soul. Prayer is the foundation of everything that God wants to do in and through us. And so here's the thing. I think if our prayer life feels dull, if our prayer life feels boring, if talking to God feels quiet, if it feels muted, then I would say we need a fresh revelation of who God is. God's plan in the earth is to partner with you and I, starting with prayer, to bring his kingdom to earth. Prayer is the most exciting, radical, honestly, it's unbelievable opportunity we have to talk to God himself and to partner with him to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. It's the most exciting thing we could ever be a part of in this life. And so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be unpacking Daniel's life, chapters 1 to 9, looking at the prayers Daniel prayed. We're going to learn from him in the context of Babylon, in the context of opposition. And so week one, today, we're talking about welcome to Babylon, everybody. Welcome to Babylon. Then week two, we're talking about the prayer of praise and petition. Week three, we're talking about the prayer of courage and consistency. And week four, we're talking about the prayer of repentance and restoration. So everybody, this is going to be an amazing month. Now, here's what I want to ask you to do. I want to invite you to join us in 21 days of prayer and fasting. We have a 21-day devotional, a prayer devotional on YouVersion that we'd love you to use. Let's pray, let's fast, let's take 21 days to grow in our prayer and grow spiritually in God. As we do this, fasting is about denying self, denying our flesh so that our spirit can grow. There's a thing called a Daniel fast. We read about that in the book of Daniel. It's not actually in the context of prayer and fasting, but that could be an option. I would encourage you, even if it's starting with fasting social media or fasting Netflix, hello, fasting something that is going to help your spirit man grow opposed to your flesh. Let that your inner being grow in God over the next 21 days. To find out more, talk to your location pastor. Go to c3syd.church. We have lots of resource on fasting, but let's do this together this month. Everybody, right now, we're about to introduce all our preachers across all our locations. So everybody, can just stand up. Yeah, stand up, stand up, stand up. Good job. So excited. So right now, for the preacher who's bringing the word to you today in the location you're in, everybody, can you put your hands together as we kick off courageous prayer? Welcome to Babylon. Go on, everybody, keep clapping. Welcome your preacher. We love you. God bless everybody. See you soon.
Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's give Jesus a big hand because he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you, Lord. Right now, let's just open our hearts to God right now. Father, we thank you for your word. Let's press into God right now. I'm just going to pray for us as we come around the word of God. Lord, your word says, it says, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. So, Father, we draw near to you and we allow your presence to rest upon us. We thank you, you're going to speak to us, you're going to shift us, you're going to guide us, you're going to move us and take us to a new place in you today in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. 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 God bless you. Why don't you give someone a high five? Tell them God loves them and he thinks they're fantastic. All right, here we go. Here we go. We're going to be looking, as Pastor Alex was saying, next 4 weeks we're going to be looking at the life of Daniel and first 9 chapters of Daniel. Daniel was an incredible man of God. One of the greatest men of God in the Bible. In fact, this is what God says in the book of Ezekiel concerning Daniel. In Ezekiel 14:14, He says this, even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they could save only themselves by their righteousness, declares the sovereign Lord. In other words, Noah, now, you think of Noah. Noah saved the entire planet, built the ark. He and his family went in there and the human race was able to continue. He was in an extremely hostile environment where no one believed God. God had to basically nuke the planet. And then you get, so Noah's right up there. Job has got an entire book in the Bible named after him. What a man of God. He persevered and hung in there. Who's read the book of Job? Anybody? It's like amazing book. What a man of faith he was. And he could say, but this is before the Bible was written, by the way. He was able to say, though he slays me, yet will I trust in him. And so he was incredible. And so you get Noah and you get Job, but right up there, according to God himself in Ezekiel 14:14 and 14:20, there's another man called Daniel. And this actually isn't like 100 years after Daniel's died, they're looking back and it's all awesome. No, no, no. Daniel was actually still alive when the scripture was written. That was the sheer greatness of the man. A man who, as Pastor Alex was saying, a 17-year-old boy taken to captivity in a foreign land. Can you imagine that? Now, there's some terrible stuff been going on in the Middle East, but there's still hostages who've been taken captive and they're stuck there as this terrible war rages on with so many innocent children and men and women dying, but they're hostages. It would be a horrific thing. And yet, in spite of this, Daniel didn't just survive in Babylon. He thrived in Babylon. He became basically the prime minister of the most powerful empire on earth at that time. Therefore, my friends, for those of us who want to do something significant with our lives, for those of us who want to survive in this world in which we live and thrive, there's lessons that we can learn from the life of Daniel. There's incredible things contained in this word that we're going to be sharing and looking at over the next 4 weeks. And so you see here in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 1, it begins with a story of how King Jehoiakim was king of Judah, and Nebuchadnezzar came and took a lot of the treasures and a lot of the key leaders, including Daniel, and took them to Babylon. And then basically back then the Babylonians used to get the best young men and women from those nations that they'd conquered, and they'd train them up to serve in the government. In fact, it says here in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 3, then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and nobility. Young men without any physical defect. Oh, you could tick off a few things here, guys. Just tick all the, see what boxes you tick. Handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well employed, etc. See, he wanted to bring them into the king's service. I want you to know this morning that Daniel was already in the king's service. But it wasn't an earthly king, even though he was the most powerful man in the world at that time. I want you to know that no matter where you are at in life, above and beyond your boss, above and beyond the Prime Minister of Australia or the President of the United States, above and beyond kings, there's a King of Kings. There's a Lord of Lords. And can I say this? And actually, we'll see this probably later on as we look at the book of Daniel. There's world nations and empires that are to come. The Babylonians and the Medes and the Persians and the Greeks and the Romans. You know what, guys? Kingdoms come and kingdoms go. Leaders come and they go. But there's a God who remains forever. He will rule and reign. and he's setting up a kingdom right here, right now, that will never be destroyed, and that's the kingdom of God. Can we say amen? Can we give God a big hand? And so in the midst, and I'm just thinking about this now, in the midst of all this, Daniel is not intimidated because he knows another king and a greater king. And they say, well, listen, you guys, you've got to eat this food and you've got to drink this wine. The world wants to give you its diet, its rules, its regulations, and that's okay as long as they don't contradict the rules and laws of Almighty God. But when it does, then you and I need to draw a line in the sand and say, we're not going to cross that line. And that's what Daniel did. You see, they gave him this food and they said, well, for 3 years, you're going to be trained up. You're going to eat from the king's table. And he was already eating from another king's table. He was eating different food from another king's table. But now, and I was reading this, and I just remember this morning, last night for dinner at my house, we had roast pork and crackle. Anybody like it? That's what we had for dinner last night. How many people like roast pork? Anybody? Crackle? How many people like prawns and lobsters? Man, I love some of that action. But you know what? Jewish people can't eat it. It's outside their food laws. And Daniel was given this choice. You see, this message is all, and this series is all about courageous prayer. And Daniel's been given this choice. He can eat the food, the king's food. And he can just, and this is what happens when we have courageous prayer. We have the strength to not compromise. Yeah. Now, here's the thing, it's only food. Who cares? You know what? Here's the problem. Or there's only a little word in the word of God. There's this little thing. But I'm just going to cut a few corners because I want people to like me and I want to fit in with the crowd and all that sort of stuff. But here's the thing. If you compromise in a little thing, you're sowing the seed in your life so that when something big comes up, and by the way, in the next couple of chapters, some big stuff is going to come up. You've got to worship this golden idol or else we will burn you in the fire. You've got to stop praying to anyone but the king or else we will throw you into a lion's den. But because Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego way back here had said, you know what, we're not going to compromise in a small thing, God will give you the strength. So you, when the pressure's really on, you won't compromise in big things either. Now, look at when you look at Daniel's life, there's some key principles here that caused him to thrive and survive in Babylon. He loved the word of God. In fact, in Daniel 9, which we will look at in the weeks to come, he opens up the book of Jeremiah and he sees we're only going to be in captivity for 70 years. And he goes, wow. Daniel was a student of the word of God. But actually, interestingly enough, he only had the Pentateuch and Psalms and Proverbs and some of the major prophetic books. He didn't have the minor prophets. He didn't have the Gospels. He didn't have the letters of Paul. He didn't have the book of Revelation. But he had enough of the Word of God to study it. And wait a minute. Now, this is what it says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. God speaks to Joshua and he said, and by the way, who here wants to succeed? Anybody want to succeed in life? Anybody want to prosper in life? I know I do. He says, this book of the law will not depart from your mouth, but you'll be careful to meditate on it. Do everything it says, then you'll be prosperous, then you'll be successful. And so we see Daniel, he was a student of the Word of God. And can I say this too? Daniel loved the Word of God and he loved the congregation of God's people, even when he was in Babylon. Because as I read this last week, something dawned on me that I'd never noticed before. Daniel was in a small group. Who here goes to a connect group? Anybody go to a connect group? Anybody here go to a connect group? Daniel was in a connect group. We've got over 105 connect groups here at Oxford Falls, and I have a great privilege of overseeing them, and it's absolutely fantastic. Daniel in Babylon got together with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the four of them prayed for each other. The four of them did Bible studies together, I'm sure. The four of them gave each other support and encouragement as they were struggling, missing their family, their friends, their homeland. They encouraged one another. Guys, we need each other. We need to come to church. We need to go to Connect, and it's awesome. So Daniel was into all that, but Daniel was a man of courageous prayer. Now, I'm going to cheat a bit right now. Pastor Alex said we're only going to look at Daniel's 1 to 9. I want you to have a quick look at Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10, here we go. Now, this is fantastic. And Daniel chapter 10 and verse 2. This is what it says. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. So he actually had 21 days prayer and fasting. Actually, I've decided I'm going to fast Netflix because I don't have it. I only have Stan and Apple. So I'm going to fast Netflix. Okay. I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. And Daniel's a New Zealander. We see here, I ate no choice food. Hey, bro. It's pretty choice, eh? I ate no choice food. No meat or wine touched my lips. I used no lotions until the 3 weeks were over. And he's praying for 21 days because he has this revelation. He's praying it through. He's praying courageous prayer. And God sends an angelic being to him. And we see this here in verse 14. It says this, then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard and I have come in, that's verse 12. Your words were heard and I came in response to them. As soon as you begin to pray, as soon as you begin to seek God, the wheels start turning in heaven, and God has got these angelic messengers. God begins to move and becomes to meet you at the point of your need. Okay, and so then it continues on, and Daniel's struggling. He's in Babylon. There's a lot of pressure on. It's brutal. But look what it says here in verse 18. Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. Guys, when you pray courageous prayers, God's on his way. And whatever it is you need, God is going to touch you. Isn't it awesome to come onto the altar or to be at home and to be praying and the touch of God comes on your life? God touches. Now, literally touched Daniel here. It can figuratively, God can touch you by his spirit. God touched me and gave me strength. Anybody need strength this morning? Anybody need help in their lives? Or is it just me? But God can come and give us the strength that we need in our daily lives. And then he says, do not be afraid. Verse 19, do not be afraid, you who are highly esteemed. Now listen, fear is one of the things that can paralyze us the most, particularly today in the 21st century in Australia. People struggle with anxiety. People struggle with fear. But I want you to know, no matter where you're at in your world, God is able to come and touch you at the point of your need and take that fear and take that doubt and take that anxiety away and replace it with faith, hope, and love. Let's give Jesus a hand. The touch of God. The peace of God. Look, then he says, you who are highly esteemed, he said, peace. Anybody need a bit of peace from time to time? I need the peace of God. Peace. Be strong. Be strong. And when he spoke to me in this time of courageous prayer, I was strengthened and said, speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength. This wasn't just this one-off in Daniel chapter 10. This was a constant theme throughout Daniel's life. He had a life of prayer, courageous prayer. Now, when you have courageous prayer, you will have the ability not to compromise in this hostile world, like Daniel did. You'll also have the ability not to lose your God-given identity. You know what Satan wants to do? He wants to take your identity from you. He wants you to forget that you're a son or a daughter of the living God. And it all comes down to our identity. I want you to know today that your new identity is your true identity. When you got born again, you became a new person. You became a son or a daughter of the living God. But your identity is important. The devil will always try and cloud that and take that away from you because you're in this hostile environment with all these voices saying the opposite to you. And what we'll do in, with Jesus, we find with Jesus that every conversation he had early on in his life, particularly in the Gospel of Luke when you read it, either challenged or reaffirmed his identity. In the temple, when he's being dedicated, Simeon came up and prophesied, said, "Lord, you may dismiss your servant in peace because I have seen the Messiah." This child's the Messiah. Anna comes up, begins to prophesy that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Later on, when Jesus is 12, he goes to the temple and Mary and Joseph lose Jesus, which is pretty bad, isn't it, losing Jesus. They lost him and they're running around and Mary finally finds Jesus in the temple and she says, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Your father and I have been worried about you." She again challenged his identity. And Jesus said, "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" So whilst he loved and honored his earthly parents, he reestablished his identity that he was in fact the Son of the living God. And when God first speaks to Jesus in Scripture, or the first time we see God speaking to Jesus, it's at the baptism of Jesus, when the heavens open, the Holy Spirit comes down in form like as a dove, and God says to Jesus, "You are my son. You're my son. You're my beloved son. In you, I am well pleased." He reaffirmed his identity. So when you're praying, allow the Holy Spirit to... When Satan first spoke to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God," your identity is so important. Never forget who you are and where you come from. While you're down here on earth, you come from a different world. You come from a place that's in eternity. And you will return there. Never lose your identity. And here's another thing too. Daniel had great consistency. Now, it's so important to be consistent. Not up and down, in and out, as the wind blows. See, Daniel's life circumstances changed all the time. Things were good. Like he starts his life over here as a ruler and a noble in Judah. Then he's taken into captivity. He's down here, a slave. Then he gets promoted and given this big job in the kingdom. Great. And then, hang on, we're going to kill all the wise men of Babylon because you can't interpret the king's dream. Now he's down here with a death sentence on him. Then he interprets the king's dream and they're almost worshiping him. It's awesome. His circumstances are up and down. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refuse to worship the thing. So now they're thrown into a fiery furnace. That's his circumstances. And then Daniel, he's one of the rulers of Persia. And then he refuses to stop praying. So they cast him down here into a lion's den. Then he's promoted again and he's up here. Listen, your circumstances might change. Your feelings might change. But the fact of the matter is, Daniel was an incredibly consistent man of God. Regardless of whether he was in the penthouse or the outhouse, he was always worshiping and seeking God. Come on. One day you're a rooster, the next you're a feather duster. In your circumstance, you might be in the slave ship, but glory to God, or the championship. You know, our circumstances can change, but Daniel, because of his courageous prayer life, remained consistent in his faith and walk with Almighty God. Consistency. And I'll finish with this point. Longevity. Courageous prayer leads not only to consistency, it leads to longevity. Daniel starts off in Judah, and he's being brought up. King Josiah, the last good king of Judah, is the king. And then Jehoiakim, his idiot son, takes over. But guess what? Daniel just keeps turning up. And then he ends up in Babylon, and Nebuchadnezzar's the king. But Daniel's still turning up. And then his son, Belshazzar, becomes king. And there's another guy before him called Evil Merodach or something. And then there's Belshazzar. Daniel's still going, and that kingdom falls. Judah falls. Babylon falls. Persia emerges. And it's King Cyrus and King Darius. Daniel outlasts them all. Guys, keep turning up. Keep turning up. Keep turning up. Every meeting I'm in, virtually at church here, staff meetings, I'm the oldest person here. So you know what I did? I started a connect group at the War Vets. So I could be the youngest person in the meeting. Is Jimmy and Jean McFarlane here this morning? They're here. Yay. Jim and Jean, stand up. Give these guys a hand. They've been in the church since 1981. Guess what? They're still turning up. And it hasn't always been good. It's been tough. I've been down and out. But listen, just keep getting up. Keep turning up. I got saved on the 19th of October, 1976, and I'm still turning up. Won't you too? Let's keep turning up together, shall we? And that will happen. That happens when we have courageous prayer. When we're reading the Bible, courageous prayer, when we go to church, and we're on this wonderful journey together as God's family. The band of brothers. We happy few. We band of brothers and sisters. Courageous prayer will get the job done. God will come and touch you. God will give you strength. God will give you peace. God will give you consistency. You'll keep the identity and you'll have longevity to the point on that great and awesome day when you stand before God, he'll say, "Well done, you good and faithful servant."
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.